So I ask you to prayerfully consider these questions. How do we as Christians change our environment? How do we as Christians change our culture? How do we as Christians encourage the growth of things that are God-pleasing, honorable, and virtuous? How do we as Christians encourage the stopping of the spread of things that are harmful to our culture? How do we as Christians, as the salt of the earth, stop the spread of things that tear down and destroy the message of grace and the abundant life in God's grace? Consider St. Paul's many messages to the early churches that he wrote to. In his many writings, he wrote about what was good and what was not, what should be encouraged and promoted, and what should be stopped and avoided. In Ephesians, Paul talks about being an imitator of God. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about being an ambassador for God. When we are an imitator of God and an ambassador for God, we are being the salt of the earth, encouraging faithful living that glorifies God and serves the needs of others by being the hands and feet of Jesus to a fallen and broken world, and ceasing, stopping the things that hinder the kingdom of God. So why light? Well, just as when salt is introduced into something and it changes its environment to make something salty, light, when introduced, invades and conquers darkness. You see, you can never measure how dark something is. Darkness is only relative to having less light. Only light can be measured, just as only heat can be measured. And you can never measure coldness. Coldness is only relative to having less heat. Temperature measures heat only and not cold, because heat is a byproduct of energy transfer. Lumens measures light only and not darkness, because illumination conquers the darkness no matter how dim it may seem. So think about the purpose of light. We use light to control darkness, brighten a room, see the road at night, let ships know that they're approaching land, and so on. Lamps, flashlights, headlights, floodlights, lasers, beacons, candles, rescue fires. There is something calming and peaceful and reassuring about the dawn's light of a new day. From horror movies of Hollywood to long distance driving overnight to third shift workers waiting to be relieved of their duties, there is something to be said about the rejuvenation coming with the light of day. It's also a biblical truth. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5 says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." It's also true about Jesus. In John 14, 6, Jesus declares, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And again in John 8, 12, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You see, there's a connection between light and life. When we celebrate a baptism here at Glory Day, we light a candle to signify that the newly baptized, washed clean from their sins, carries the light of Christ within them. And when we have the light of Christ within us, we are a new creation. We have a new obedience. We no longer have an obedience to the darkness of sin, but we have a new obedience to the light of Christ. So how is it that Christ says, "I am the light of the world," but then he also says on the at the Sermon on the Mount that you are the light of the world? Well, it's really rather simple. It's simply a distinction of source and reflection. You see, there's a big difference between sunlight and moonlight. The sun is a bright star that is the source of light, emitting light waves out from itself, but the moon is different. It's a chunk of rock, a really big chunk of rock that is not a source of light, but rather the moon reflects the sunlight off of its surface onto our darkened earth at night. I don't know about you, but I love to look at the stars in the night sky. It's too hard to see the beauty and splendor of the stars when there seems to be a lot of light. And so for a couple of years, my family went out for a short vacation because we heard that we had to float the Frio and see the Milky Way. Well, our drought-stricken summer that year, that float meant it was more of a bribe to our kids, pulling Rachel and me on our inner tubes through ankle-deep water for much of the Frio. But that night was going to be different. It was going to be special. I set the alarm for 2 a.m. At 2 a.m., I woke everybody up. And we went outside to see the Milky Way, only to come face-to-face with a full moon invading our night sky. Oh, it was so bright we could have driven around that night without our headlights on, as the moon reflected the light and brightened the sky like it was before dusk. Yeah, I learned the value of checking the lunar calendar and the moon phases from then on. But my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that is a lot like us. You see, Christ is the source of light when he says, "I am the light of the world, and we are the reflection of his light, invading the darkness of a fallen world and illuminating and guiding the way to live fully alive in his grace." That's what he means when he says, "You are the light of the world." We reflect his light to a darkened world that so desperately needs his light. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." He didn't say you should be or you ought to be, but rather he said, "You are." And Jesus is making a declaration here about what it is for the believers and followers of Christ, what they are in response of living fully alive in God's grace. You see, you are because of him. You are is a statement of being, not doing. You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, is a statement of being different than the rest of your environment. Just as the introduction of salt changes the environment to be salty, you, as a follower of Christ, you are different and changing your environment to be more Christ-like. Just as light conquers the darkness, as a follower of Christ, you are different and reflect the light of Christ to a darkened world that needs to know of his love and his grace and his mercy and his peace. You change your environment and conquer the darkness by how you live, how you talk, how you treat each other, how you trust, how you act, how you pray, how you praise, how you prioritize, how you worship, how you tithe, how you repent, and how you forgive, how you warn, and how you protect, how you celebrate, and how you bounce back from defeat, how you confess with gentleness and respect, and how you care for others, how you parent, and how you lead, and how you follow, and how you support, how you mourn with hope, and how you live fully alive in God's grace. My brothers and sisters in Christ, our mission here at Gloria Day is to help more people live life with Jesus every day. That's discipleship. That's being the hands and feet of Jesus. That's exposing people to God's grace and helping them live fully alive in that grace. That's us being salt and light. Yes. When you help more people live life with Jesus every day, you are being salt of the earth and light of the world, not for your sake, but for God's. To God be the glory.